look good. A little rough around the edges, but good.
Heard about a job. Big shot gangster putting together a crew.
I'm a driver. And I'm a flyer. I waited a long time for a shot like this.
What do you think? Well, what do you know?
You got a line on a ship?
Yeah, I know a guy. He's the best smuggler around.
I heard a story about you. I was wondering if it's true.
Everything you've heard about me is true.
L3!
Let's go with a mean man's face.
Who are these guys?
If you come with us, you're in this life for good.
You might want to buckle up, baby.
Hello and welcome to another movie podcast bonus. I am Oscar. With me today is...
Oh, Ralph.
It is Mr. Bonus. And if this is your first time listening to us, or more importantly, if this is your first bonus episode, you've happened to join with us, this is how it works. Every month, Oscar chooses, that's me, a movie that we won't be able to get to review, usually a movie that's going to be in our blind spot between our shows, or a movie that we want to anticipate, but maybe like Luke's turn, we won't pick it kind of thing. And we choose that, and for that month, people who donate to our show, not very many because we're new, we'll get that episode that month. But 5 months down the road, the episode will get released to the general public. And most likely, this is where you're listening to it, 5 months down the road. And that's how it typically works. Otherpodcast.com is our website. We can find this bonus and all the previous bonuses and what the next ones are. Because you know 5 months down. Or as you know, every month as it comes up. And that's how we typically do it. It's just a little fun way to add in a little extra review for a movie that we're anticipating. Usually I pick... big movies, because they're crowd pleasers and they're easy to watch. They're everywhere. Nothing too hard for you or me or us to watch. That's how it typically works. So check it out. Like I said, otherpodcast.com. Also, feedback can be sent to podmoviecast@gmail.com. All this shit is in your show notes for what, Spotify, iTunes, whatever you got it on.
Are we on Spotify?
I don't think so.
No, then don't say it.
Well, I don't know. I think we might be. I don't know how it works.
We're not on Spotify.
Good. I don't want to be there.
Good.
Just the first thing that popped in my head. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what were you saying?
No, nothing.
What were you going to say?
I wasn't going to say anything.
Yeah, you were.
No, I wasn't.
You're such a liar. I'm looking at you.
I know.
Okay, fine.
You can't prove it.
And so that's all we're going to do today is reviewing the Solo, a Star Wars movie. That is this month's bonus. And Solo-ness. Let's talk about Solo. So let's get into our review, shall we? Rapscallion, Han Solo sets on an adventure to reclaim his lost love and a big payday through the stars with a cast of fighters, pilots, lawbreakers, and a Wookiee who never seemed to stop owing debts to much bigger fish. So this is directed by Ron Howard. I should say almost like co-directed by Ron Howard because he came in after the project had already been started and well into its production. But he is the accredited director officially. And it's, I'm going to say it right now, didn't make a lot of headway with people, with fans, and with critics. It's also their least successful, right, money-wise, Star Wars film. And there's a lot of things to talk about here, Ralph, not just outside the movie, but within the movie. I don't know where you want to start exactly, but first impressions, of course. What did you think of the movie?
I felt like this movie wanted to go somewhere else and that it ended up being something different. Not shocking when we have two directors.
Fine.
But it did feel that way in the beginning because there's some stuff in the movie that doesn't seem necessary that's in the movie. Obviously, you get all this after watching the whole movie.
Yeah.
And there's some stuff that you think it's going to go one way, but it doesn't. And you're kind of surprised by it, I guess, along the way. Overall, don't get me wrong, production value in this movie is amazing. There's everything is top notch. The ship stuff looks great. My pizza's ready. So the ship stuff looks great. So all the battles and the cruisers and all that stuff looks amazing when you're in the ships. Some of the fight stuff, saw the fight mechanics in this movie works pretty well as well. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of action in this movie, to say the least.
Yes.
So yeah, I overall liked it. I didn't hate the movie. Don't get me wrong. I'm not like, this is the best Star Wars since the last Star Wars movie, and the next one will be the better one ever. But I still think the best one that's come of late is Rogue One. Just because that story in itself is great, and the production value is there, and all the acting, everything kind of clicks in that movie for me.
Yeah, a lot of people tend to like really dismiss that movie for some reason. And
Rogue
One? Yeah.
No, I really like Rogue One a lot.
I was surprised by Rogue One's success, in my opinion.
Right, right. I mean,
in my eyes.
Yeah. I think maybe also because I wasn't that hyped on this one, on that one, and on Han. I wasn't really sold on a Han Solo movie either.
Me either.
I did like where they went. Some of the stuff is really very.
Oh yeah.
Very Disney, I would say. That's a good word. It's a good word to use.
Yeah.
Other than that. I still left the movie going, okay, this is good. I didn't hate it.
Okay.
But I wasn't looking to, like, I need to buy it again so I can watch it again.
Yeah.
Let's look at it that way either.
Yeah, okay.
How about yourself?
Yeah, so I have mixed views because I kind of hate half the movie. And then I like the other half. And it's not like one-to-one, like the first half or the second half. It's just like, you know, kind of all the pieces here and there and it equals to half. And I am not a big fan of Star Wars necessarily. I'm not a fanboy of it. I don't make art. I like some of the other stuff for it, but like I don't seek it out. I don't care. Don't care about the minutia of Star Wars, the Republic, or what Sith lords can do. What I don't care. Just don't care. And I grew up with the movies like everyone and their mother, but like never fell in love with them the way people do. And love the music, of course, but that's really it. And that's the only one thing I love about the whole Star Wars. I'd say this is the worst. This is a bad movie if you love Star Wars. It's like, because it tries to tap into the very worst instincts of any fanboy. It does everything wrong in that regard. And in those things, even me, who is a light fan, really detested. Like some of that stuff was really cringeworthy in this movie, Solo, and I didn't think we needed it. I think they were bogged down. It's almost like this movie became a biopic. The mistakes that a typical biopic does, this movie's doing, and I'm like, but this is not based on anyone real.
Yeah.
It's like they fell into that hole. How did you write yourselves into that trap? You know what I'm talking about?
No, I 100% agree with you.
Like, you see the Johnny Cash biopic or whatever, and like, why did they have to show that he did that? I'm like, I guess he did in real life, but why did they have to show? Like, it seems like it's a stupid way to, like, well, that's a stupid way to end that movie. Well, that's how real life ended. Well, that's stupid. It's not cinematic. But like, this, they have no excuse. What are they basing it on? It's insane. And so,
You can still at least go to the Johnny Cash movie. Well, that was his life.
Right. You know? They at least have that, right?
Right. They have that excuse for themselves.
Right.
Which it should work in theory. Like, well, yes. You can't complain about the guy's life if that's his life, right?
Right. And if they want to stick to it so badly, right?
Exactly. Okay. But in this one, you are talking about a fictional character. And I do agree with you that the problem with this is that it's like this gigantic character for all of these nerds and geeks out there that it's a beloved character. You're talking about Han Solo, like, he's just like, it's an icon in pop culture. It's not just you know, we don't talk about Luke Skywalker like we do about Han Solo. Like, let's be realistic.
I guess you would say, yeah, I would agree with that,
right?
Yeah.
Like, no one. I mean, also, like, we're not getting a Luke Skywalker movie by himself because we already got three of them, right? So if you want to look at it that way, right? I'm just saying. But Han Solo, though. We are this person, like, oh my god, I want to know everything about this guy. How was he so cool? When he really wasn't that cool to begin with, in my opinion.
Oh, okay.
I've never, like, that's my opinion, of course, of it. But this movie for me, like I said, I overall still, I just like what it did. Like, it still had fun watching some of the stuff.
There's this high sequence with a train that was
a really good part.
Dug it completely.
When you think about it, when the things that I'm remembering are the fun parts of the movie. And when we talk about the minutia to it, don't get me wrong, there's a lot of bad stuff in this movie.
Yeah.
But overall, I'm leaving the movie, I'm like, yeah, it was pretty good. Like, I had fun watching it. You know, kind of fucked up with some stuff that goes on. And like I said, there's parts that, like you're saying, you like one half better than the other. Not necessarily cut in the middle half-wise.
Yeah.
I'm kind of the same boat. Like, there's a lot of stuff that does not work for the movie itself. It doesn't help it.
Yeah.
And they go a different route. And like I said earlier, they go a different route. The route that you don't expect or like you didn't want them to go.
Yeah. I think they pulled a lot of punches. I think if they wanted to make a movie about the soul of Han Solo, see what I did there. And they bungled the job because they try to also appease people to what they know about Star Wars at the same time. Like, for example, the most obvious one, the one we all make fun of, at least I do, is how Han got his name, how he got his last name, Solo.
Yeah, that's very hokey.
It's really bad. It's, you know, the last time I felt that way.
I want to see Luke defend himself because... He hasn't seen it,
but when he does see it, he's going to love it.
What I want to say, of course he's going to love it, but I want to see Luke defend himself because, like, it's a really hokey, like, you have to just say it's hokey.
Do you remember that scene in Prometheus?
Which one?
I sometimes mention this. Do you remember that movie? When they're, spoilers for Prometheus, Charlize Theron is the daughter of the Wayland Industries guy, right? And you find out that Mr. Wayland himself is on that ship. Remember? He's, like, hiding in some corner of the ship.
Yeah.
And... she's talking to him, and she says, after like a dramatic beat, 5-second wait, it feels like, she's like, father. You know, the way it just looks so bad. I don't remember the movie theater experience, but I remember it. And everyone was laughing because it looked bad and it was awful. This is how this was.
Yeah.
That's the last time I felt this way. This hokiness just spilling out of nowhere.
Yeah. I just think the movie had a good chance of. Exploring a different part of the world. This movie should have been, and I think it's supposed to be, a setup for the bounty hero world of Star
Wars. Yeah, and they did not do that a good job of it.
Yeah.
They showed us some mercenaries, but we'll get
like
two spoilers, yes. But yeah, I think this movie bungles a lot of things. I think the original directors, I don't have all the information in front of me. I think it's the guys who did the Captain America movies. I'm not 100%.
To my understanding, that sounds about right.
They were fired off the thing. The people who own it or Disney or whoever these producers are, they've been bungling that, even with Marvel films lately, where they will bring in a hot director or a director with vision or with some acclaim, not big director, because big directors are expensive to hire. And they want to look, you know, they want to look chic. They hire them and then they fire them, or they completely limit they narrow their viewpoint so much that it becomes not even their movie. It really doesn't make any sense why they were hiring these young upstarters. But they did that with this movie. Again, this is another example of that. Ant-Man is another one, for example, that Fantastic Four movie they went through. Yeah, so they keep doing this, and this is another example of them firing up a people who had a specific viewpoint. And from an article I read, I don't have the information in front of me. From an article I read, look it up, guys. They had an idea for it that if you look at this movie, the theatrical release, you can see the bones of that cool idea coming out maybe with some of this stuff. It would have been like this expensive heist crazy story that is actually about the soul of him, not just about fucking Kessler Run and where he got his name from and who is this girl and what's from, you know, all that stuff. And I think when Ron Howard came in, he kind of just finished it off and just did a serviceable movie, and then it didn't turn out to be that serviceable.
To my understanding,
yes,
Star Wars, according to IMDb thing here,
IMDb.
Phil Lord and Christopher Miller had been dismissed.
There you go. Lord,
they did the Lego movie.
Oh, Lego movie. Okay.
Due to creative differences. And then Ron Howard had to reshoot more than 80% of the movie.
Reshoot. Oh, wow. Okay, that's even worse.
So when they were, apparently, a good portion of it was done.
Yeah.
To my understanding.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense. Yeah, that's terrible.
That is terrible. Don't get me wrong. I love Ron Howard. I love most of his work. And you could tell there's a polished movie when it comes to certain things, and a lot of things are done really well. That's why overall I still like the movie. But like I said, there is things that they went the PG, they went the nice and easy route. You know, they had two routes to go: the cool, interesting route that we don't know what's through the forest, or the nice and easy route on the right side. They went the nice and easy route when they got Ron Howard. There's nothing wrong with the nice and easy route. It's just that I think you could have done something. You could have got something cooler.
Yeah.
Maybe left with some cuts and bruises on the left side, but they took the right side.
Yeah. Yeah. So I just want to mention two things before we get into spoilers real quick. One is the performances here. So we got Alden Ehrenreich.
Han.
Fuck. Mm-hmm. Han, yes. I think he would have made a cool Han for sure if he was allowed to in this movie. He doesn't look like he's really stretching his acting muscles in this one. However, we really love him in Hail Caesar, which is where you guys start. Yeah. And
Get a really good glimpse like of when what I heard, he can do.
When I heard he was going to do this movie, he was going to play Han.
Very excited.
I was excited.
Yeah, I was excited too.
And I know he could have done it if I had given the chance. He's pretty good. Woody Harrelson, always pretty good and charming. He's wonderful.
Charming is the best word for Woody Harrelson.
What did you think of Emilia Clarke, Game of Thrones alumni in this movie as the girlfriend?
I actually thought she was really good in this movie.
You did? Okay, good.
I thought she was going to be a throwaway role, mm-hmm. and they were going to try to use her as a strong female role, mm-hmm. and it felt like that. Like a good part of the movie when we get introduced, when she gets reintroduced in the movie.
Yeah.
And but she kind of takes over the role, and I think she won me over overall.
Okay.
So it wasn't like. It was still kind of downplayed. She didn't get as much time as she should have or as maybe. I would have wanted her to. Yeah. But in the end, she still won her role as being the dominant female lead.
Yeah, okay. I barely bought it, is my point. Her reintroduction to Han's life was also very hokey and way too implausible. This is a universe we're talking about. What? Mm-hmm. Like, it felt really bad. Well, but once you get over that, it's okay. It's pretty good.
Yeah, I get it. They're trying to tie it that in the end, all criminals work together.
Yeah, or something.
That's what they're trying to go for. Like, there's reaches. Like, you have to reach for this movie.
Yeah, what do you think of Paul Bettany, though? That just reminded me of that.
Who?
Paul Bettany, as he's the crime lord. With the knife.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I don't know. He was a little extra for me.
Yeah, he was a little
extra. But he was a little out there. Like, he was out there in a good way for the role.
I think he had, like, modifications.
Yeah, it was interesting, though.
Kind of like that Yondu guy from Guardians of the Galaxy. Like,
right.
a little weird.
Exactly,
criminal.
Yeah.
And obviously, my main question here, what did you think of Donald Glover as a...
I don't know.
I have
mixed reviews.
Really?
About... Okay. At first, I felt very comfortable, and I was like, he played this super cool person.
Mm-hmm.
And then I thought we could have got more out of him, to be brutally honest with you.
Oh, yeah. He was basically two cameos.
Yeah. That's
or three.
And I think we should have got more out of him.
Yeah.
And I think what we got out of him was essentially just cementing what we want to get from him in the Star Wars role, like this as that a character, mm-hmm. in Star Wars, where he's always been this kind of person, like, mm-hmm. in all the movies across as Lando Calrissian.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, he was just a younger Lando Calrissian in this one, and I think it was a missed opportunity with him. I think they should have done a little bit more with him.
Well, that's my thing, is that I thought he nailed it. So
what we got
so
from,
hard,
yeah, no, what we got from more, him. Yeah. As what I expect how Lando would act, yeah. earlier, I think he played Lando very cool, very good.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is we just didn't get enough for me to say that he made a lasting impact in the movie.
No.
So,
all right. No, I agree. I wanted more. And he was definitely like, whatever. And I want to mention this last one. Phoebe Waller-Bridge, who plays L-337.
Her picture is crazy, but yeah.
Her picture?
Yeah, I love it on IMDb.
Oh, dude, I love her show. It's a one-word show. It's on Amazon Prime. Fleabag.
Oh, she's Fleabag?
That's her show.
Oh, okay.
She stars, wrote it, directed it, whatever. I don't know if she directed it, but it's a really great show. She has a really good sense of humor.
What did I think of her?
Good British humor.
That character definitely won me over.
Yeah, also very, very charming.
I think it's kind of the saving grace in a lot of the glossing over parts.
Yeah, there's this mine scene where they have to retrieve information. They have to pull off another heist, essentially. And she is the standout role in that part, in that whole sequence.
Yeah.
I really liked her a lot. So what was the other thing I was going to mention before the spoiler section? It was about something I forgot. So I'm going to go to spoilers right now, and I'll think about it, and hopefully it comes up. So spoilers for Solo, A Star Wars Story, starting right now.
Good going on. need to divert auxiliary power to the rear deflector shield.
We definitely do.
Since when do you know how to fly? 190 years old? You look great.
Chewie, get in. I'll help Lando.
I just remember the question, and might as well just start off with this way.
Sure.
Did you hear about them canceling future Star Wars stories based on the...
I had overheard that recently, mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know if it's true. I just kind of heard it in the grapevine. Mm-hmm. But that's interesting that they would cancel just Star Wars stories. I think you should take a good look at what you're going to do next and not rush something. Not to say this movie was rushed, but I also feel like give Star Wars, let people digest things also. You know, like we don't need to get a movie back to back to back every year, every year. Like, I understand that you have this IP and you want to use it.
Yeah.
But give people time. Like, I think that's what something that we found out with superhero movies. People still go out in droves to watch them, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But I think people, we want time to digest things.
Well, I don't, you know, it's funny you
savor.
Say, I think it was rushed. I think I kind of liked their general idea, the rule that was becoming a rule that they just broke this year by releasing Solo in spring, is that every year that we have a Star Wars main movie, we'll have a two. Every it'll be like every other 2 years, one of those will come out. In between, you'll
right,
have a Star
so you're
Wars
getting
story.
Like 2 years
that's perfect.
Of work.
Every Christmas, we can still get a new Star Wars movie, but every other one will be a Star Wars story. Every other year, right? It started with Rogue One. I thought they were going to do it with this one too. They should have waited, and should have really fine tuned whatever they wanted to say from the Lord and Miller version of this movie for Christmas, and then they could have fine-tuned it and released it then.
Yeah, I mean, if you had to reshoot already most of the movie,
yeah,
you might as well have been like, listen, let's give you...
I really was down for a Christmas meaning Star Wars movie. Like, I like the idea of Christmas doesn't mean just Nutcracker musicals. It could also mean a Star Wars movie every Christmas. That'd be kind of cool. And I really was liking it because of the success of Rogue One, because of The Last Jedi, and as much as I don't like some of the repetition of the... What was the J.J. Abrams Star Wars? I still liked the movie quite a bit. It was an adventure. It was fun. You know, the whole Fen and everything. And so I wasn't liking that idea. And I think they bungled it here by releasing this too early and then rehiring all the stuff. And I think they are double downing on the negative, all the negative versions of this by canceling all of them or saying they will. I don't know if they will.
Right.
And then also saying they also said or mentioned in some press release that something about... you know, hiring more stable directors or whatever, like not going this far off the beaten path, so to speak, by hiring these new people or up-and-comers in Hollywood.
Well, that's – well, they're trying to –
like take less chances.
I get what they're trying to do. I think the problem with that is that you're trying to bring in – you're trying to bring the same talent acting-wise and find – not unknown actors, but very less known actors, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then make them big stars, which is what we do with Marvel movies, right? Except for when we need a certain role filled, that certain characters have, or just certain actors have fit perfectly, right?
Mm-hmm.
That are, you can still even consider them almost up and coming, but they weren't, like Doctor Strange. I think he was already being big enough.
Cumberbatch?
Yeah, Cumberbatch was already big, right? He wasn't gigantic. But throwing him in the what's it called?
Yeah, it's like
in the Disney realm, you have to pay him way more than you would of anybody else that just started. You know, that was just brand new.
You mean as opposed to like someone like Chadwick Boseman, right?
From Black Panther. Yeah, just like that. Okay. And don't get me wrong, Chadwick Boseman's been acting for a long time already.
Yeah. Well, I think they kind of mix it up too because they have that guy, the Ant-Man guy. What's his name?
Paul Rudd.
Paul Rudd. He was already huge.
Right, exactly. That's what I'm trying to say. They do mix it up. Don't get me wrong. I do think they revitalized Robert Downey Jr.'s career because they basically got him for next to nothing because he wasn't working. and same thing with Chris Evans. He was in a weird middle spot, right?
Crevins.
My apologies. So I think that's something that they're trying to do here because it's Disney owned. That's the only reason I bring
they
up.
They own everything.
They own everything. The only reason I bring it up is because they're trying to do the same thing with directors now. The problem with the director, I think, is like if you don't know what they're doing, if you only have a glimpse of what they've done, you can't really get their full picture of what they're going to do or what.
Yeah, like when you hire a director, you got to know what's their sensibility. If they like pushing the envelope, you hire someone like who did the Guardians movies. That guy started with like gonzo horror comedy things and like looked very strange and brutal and bloody and shit like that.
Yeah.
It was different. And I forgot the director's name off the top of my head. And I know he's changed since then. But at the same time, you know who you're hiring if you've seen his movies. If you've seen Super and Slither, you know who you're hiring.
Right, exactly.
When you hired to make this movie. And you should have known that the guys with the Lego movie are going to do something wacky and something, you know, creative filled, not really like, I don't know what they wanted. Something traditional? Like, what do they want?
Right,
I don't
exactly. know what they wanted.
And like an origin story.
Well, obviously, when you hire, and
yeah,
I hate to bring it back, but like that, when you hire Ron Howard, Ron Howard's a very safe bet.
Dude, he's hella conventional.
Hella. Like, yeah. I mean, but don't get me wrong. Like I said, I'm not knocking Ron Howard movies. I love a lot of Ron Howard movies.
Yeah, but there's a type of movie.
But there's a type of movie.
Yes, exactly. It's not Swiss Army Man.
Exactly. No, we're not getting Swiss Army Man.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Like, right. You know what you're not getting. Right. He's very conventional. Apollo 13, conventional. A great movie. Fucking awesome.
Fucking movie. Amazing movie, yeah.
But conventional. Anyway, so that being said, what did you think of some of the stuff that happened, like the Kessel Run? Did we need the fucking Kessel Run explained and shown to us? Which I want to say, it felt like a letdown.
You thought it was a letdown?
It was a letdown because of the hype of 40 years worth of time from the first time he said it.
Well, I just thought it was overhyped.
Yeah, it was overhyped.
Yeah.
Well, it was overhyped by just word of mouth. It wasn't like the movie was overhyping it.
The movie did a good job of not overhyping it.
They tried, but like it's...
But they tried, yeah. Exactly, because yeah. They mentioned Kessel Run like 6 times in like 2 minutes.
Yeah,
I guess so.
Yeah, they do.
That was, so it's just like, oh, we're doing the Kessel Run, obviously.
Yeah.
I just like how it was a complete...
I'm like, okay, cool.
I like how it was a complete and utter accident. Yeah. Like, utter accident.
Yes.
And how they got through it. And I like how that's like a big gloss over, mm-hmm. You know, like...
I mean, I do like the idea of that it became this myth in Han Solo's career for the future. And then he just retrofitted that myth to say, oh, yeah, I did that Kessel Run. Like, as if he did it intentionally.
Yeah.
Or like without
right.
worrying. I do like that. It says a lot about his character.
It does.
But you have to really think about it. And the movie doesn't play it like it's doing that.
Exactly.
It's right. just doing something.
I agree with you.
You know what I'm saying?
I agree.
And that was after the mind thing, right? That's how they skipped the mind planet or whatever that was. Is that what it was? I don't remember. They go to a lot of planets in this movie.
Yeah.
I like that little bit of war thing in the beginning of the movie where he goes to the... That was really funny.
Yeah, but that's one of the things that is almost useless in the movie.
Oh, it's hella useless because they don't devote any time to it.
That's what I'm trying to get at.
And like, Chewbacca's intro to him was very strange because I'm like, this is what you call saving his... I thought he was going to be actually saving his life. Like, I don't know what, like from an execution squad or something. I don't know what I expected, but like you just told him to knock this beam down and that's your life debt? That's his life debt to you? That's why he's going to give up his family and all that and his life?
Yeah. Just,
what the hell does that mean?
Right.
Oh, you understand, you know, and... You know what was really cringeworthy too, is that when he learns his name is Chewbacca, and he's like, "We gotta shorten that." Who says that?
Right.
No one says that.
Now they're trying to play off that this character is this kind of role. Like,
I don't, but
persona.
Yeah.
I think the biggest problem with the movie is in the building up of he overall is a great man. He overall is a good man who wants to do good, and I don't think we needed that.
I would have loved to see him be an asshole. I mean, he gets to be a good man in the Star Wars movies.
Exactly. So I think we needed to see him make the wrong choices here.
Yeah.
And I think that's the movie where this is what I wanted from the movie from the Han Solo. Mm-hmm. And like I said, we got the Disney version of it, which is the very nice version. Which the thing I wanted him to see is he did the wrong things. He made the wrong choices. And because he's already made those wrong choices, you can say that even though he made the choices, you can still give him that look of like, ooh, that didn't feel right to me.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't have to necessarily say it. But that comes a lot from your actor.
Yeah.
And I think you could have got this from our actor.
Yeah, definitely.
But you didn't ask that for him.
No.
That's also a different thing. And what I wanted him is he made all the wrong choices, right? And he tries to correct some of those choices, and he fails. So he decides to just, you know what? I'm going to double down on my wrong choices. I'm going to double down. And that's the thing I should have gotten. And when we get to the time that we first meet him, in the real world, which is episode 4, 5, and 6, mm-hmm. right? He's tired of making those wrong choices, and he wants to make the right ones. And now he's making the right choices. And now he, you know, and he, now he finally fits in.
Yeah.
And that's his redemption. His redemption is 4, 5, and 6.
It's like they're pre-redemptioning him.
Right,
It makes all those movies, the original trilogy, feel less powerful because of the stuff they're saying that this is now canon that happened before that.
Like, yeah.
It's like, so dangerous to make a prequel.
You're a good person with...
So dangerous to make a prequel.
Yeah.
Why would they do that?
Yeah, you're almost ruining the person.
Yeah, you are.
So...
Hella ruining the person.
So, yeah.
I don't want to know where he got his gun or how he got... Like, what? Why are you ruining it?
Right.
What the fuck? And, like, the only thing they really
like,
focus
on... the story...
On
don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. Like, I do want to know how he got the Falcon. And I do know that it, why it makes sense that why everyone
actually like the way that happened.
I do
how
like
it happened at the end.
Right, I like it, and I also like the fact that like why everyone how it's not a hunk of junk in this whole movie because mm-hmm. it's actually like state of the art.
Right, that's like the you know that's like, right. Yeah. It's like owning a car in the '90s for the
exactly.
first time. Yeah. Yeah. Whatever, yeah, any car. Yeah, yes, exactly right. It's not a hunk of junk yet, but I like that whole that fake out with the original card playing thing where he loses and then he wins it at the end because he knows his trick. Perfect. And I love fucking Glover's reaction throughout the whole games. Anyway, but the one thing they do focus on when you talk about the one, you know, the thing that makes them bad or a bad person or whatever, and the only thing they really focus on in this movie to make sure that he learns it is that once you're a criminal, you're always going to be a criminal here in this universe, in this particular case involving this Paul Bettany crime lord guy. If you go on this heist with me, Woody Harrelson tells him, you're always going to be a criminal. Like,
yeah,
like,
but that's, just, the,
but
that's so hammy.
So hammy. It's so not enough.
Yeah.
You need...
100% agree with you.
It's stupid. Like, okay, so he's a bad character too, the government's perspective, people we've never met. Like, what the fuck does that mean?
Right.
It's so ridiculous. They chose the wrong words. And
agreed.
It's not enough.
Agreed.
And yeah, so... but I did, you know what I really wanted, this that would have saved this movie for me, even despite all those other problems, is if, you know, right before the reveal of Emilia Clarke's, what's her name in the movie? Kira? Oh, wow. Emilia Clarke. Kira. I'm just going to say Kira, because there's an apostrophe in the middle. I don't know if it's Kyra or something. I'm going to call it Kira. Kira, before she betrays Han and takes the money and, you know, betray, goes away and shit and goes to... What's this guy? The old Sith guy? What's his name again?
Darth Maul.
Darth Maul. Thank you. Stupid ass reveal, by the way, the way he did that.
Yeah, like I don't. You don't need to tie everything.
Yes. Yeah, stop it.
Right.
Like, stop
you don't,
it.
You
I almost said to the movie, stop it.
Right. You don't need to tie everything. Also, she's the character that I wanted Han to be, making the wrong choices.
Right. Right. They did. Right. They did the work. I was gonna go to something like that. I was gonna say right before she did it, or right after she did that betrayal, this decision to close those doors when he gets out when we're housing, and leave. I would have loved a flashback to see how right then and there, like a montage, a really really quick, a really nice smooth montage of Emilia Clarke's soul going to the point where you can see this decision already being made before she did it or whatever.
Exactly.
Like it would have been amazing. It would have been like Wind River amazing. You talk about that flashback from that
right.
movie.
The thing is, I think what I wanted from, like, Han is the kind of person who impulses. In the end, he just wants himself to live. He's mm-hmm. essentially what Beckett is in this movie.
Oh, I see.
Very similar to Beckett, but he still has, like, he's supposed to do good in the world. And mm-hmm. that's what they force that on him, right?
Yeah.
This movie forces that on him. That he's supposed to be something good. He's supposed to do right.
Mm-hmm.
And what the movie is trying to tell you is that no, he's a guy who just wants to save his ass.
Yeah.
And that's that. There's both conflicting messages are going on at the same time. You're getting both of them at the same time.
Yeah.
But the one that wins is you're supposed to be a good one.
Yeah.
Not you're doing it to save your ass, save your ass and to make money.
Yeah.
And that's
even
the row.
Even the crew of the Serenity in Firefly, they stole from good people too. They didn't just steal from they were good people. But they did to what they did to survive in
exactly.
this horrible galaxy
right.
where they didn't want to work for the government. Like it makes, like the movie, the show, and the movie dealt with that in a you know
right.
more way better. Anyway, so anything else on this on Solo? I mean, we just talking general. We did talk about some specifics, but it was just how it was.
Well, the reason I bring it up as a general thing is because in the end, we're talking about the person Han Solo himself and what the image of what he was. To pop culture and to the original Star Wars movies, to what he was meant, what he was made, because this is what he's made into. This is the prequel. This is his origin story.
Yeah.
In this movie. Yeah. That's kind of why I think we're talking around it. Yeah. Don't get me wrong. Like I said, there's a lot of cool stuff and all that in-between stuff that happens that we're kind of just missing out, that we kind of just glossed over talking about. But we're in the end essentially just talking about Han Solo,
yeah,
and what they did with him and what they should have done with him, in our opinion.
Yeah.
So it does feel like we haven't talked much about the movie, but we have at the same time a lot.
Yes.
I can't really say anything else besides it is visually pleasing. There's a lot of the cool fight scenes, a lot of the cool stuff that happens in the movie. A lot of it is hokey. A lot of it is hammy.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get me wrong. But like I said, overall, it's still a fun experience. I still had fun watching the movie.
Yeah. It's like,
which is something that
I think we're just complaining about that it's not more than a... It's not more than just a fun time at a movie.
Yeah.
We wanted more.
We wanted
but
more.
It is a fun time at the movies. Because exactly. I also came out not hating it the way all these people were raving against it.
Right.
And I wasn't feeling that much. But,
neither was I.
But at the same time,
I'm not super attached to the Star Wars.
We're critiquing what they're trying to do. What these movie guys were trying to do was not make a fun movie, just a fun movie to go to a movie. Like, they wanted to do more. And that's what we're critiquing here, is that their attempts to make this movie transcendental in any way failed, and it just becomes a movie of the week or a popcorn fun movie to watch. And I might even see it again just for the hell of it, if it's on like an HBO or something, because it was fun to watch. The action's fun.
Yeah.
I love the acting.
Agreed.
Know, charming guy. All right, cool. So that's our review and our only thing we're doing for Solo, a Star Wars movie. Thanks for listening to us. Thank you for joining us for this bonus episode. I don't know what the next one is because we don't know the future. But until next month, I am Oscar.
Oh, big yawn later. Ralph.
Nice. I always nail that right times.
You really do.
Anyway, thanks for listening. See you later.
Mr. Daniel? I'm finished.